Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Friday, August the 11th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, and we will be reading from the Big Book on page 99, the bottom of the page. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover through one paragraph ending with being back to that water. To read the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, Rhonda R., and the readers of the text are Chanel T., Julie E.B., and Lorraine N. And the share ID for Thursday, August the 10th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,000. Oops, I didn't write the number down here. Let me get it. Hang on. The share ID for Thursday, August the 9th, is 20,529. That's 20529. And for this morning's meeting, Friday, August 11th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,531. That's 20531. Newcomer greeter is Carla C., and our announcements person is Shelley E. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Davlin E. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Davlin.
Good morning, Mo. Davlin E., living joyfully and gratefully in recovery from Manitoba, Canada, presently in California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
And thank you very much, Davlin E., and I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Rhonda R., very grateful, living in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1, Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today. I will pass.
And thank you to Rhonda R. very much for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 99 at the bottom of the page. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover. And we're reading through that one paragraph only, ending with when the family came back too soon. And today I'm now going to ask Chanel T. to get us started. Good morning, Chanel.
Hi, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Chanel T. in Washington State. Grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today by the grace of God. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has family back. This just isn't so. In some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. We have seen men get well whose families have not returned at all. We have seen others slip when the family came back too soon. Talk about and plain. It just spells it out, which is something I love about this book. It just spells it out. I don't think there's a lot of room for questioning what this says for me personally, and I need that. So let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. This just isn't so. My recovery, my abstinence, is not dependent on what happens in my life and what other people do. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Here's the thing. The people in my life who are the closest, my family, my loved ones, are the ones I hurt the most. They're the ones who have the deepest wounds. And I was an agent despite my best intentions, in the disease, in the food, I was an agent of chaos, a force of destruction in their lives. I deeply wounded them. So I can't expect that those wounds are going to heal or the hurts be forgotten immediately. There will be scars as well, right? I can't expect that. And that's actually not in my jurisdiction. That's in my higher power's jurisdiction to heal them. Where it says, remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent on people, it's dependent on God. My abstinence and recovery are not because of me or any other person or circumstance. Why? I'm powerless over food. I've lost the power. Ever had it in the first place, which is debatable. I cannot do this myself. I've tried every way there was, just about every way there was, to manage my obsession over food, my phenomenon of craving, to diet, to all the different things that so many people on this line have tried as well. And I was an epic failure at those things because I'm powerless only by handing it completely over to the God of my understanding, not to another person, not to circumstances, to God. Do I have freedom from the obsession today? Am I able to live in abstinence and recovery today? And where it says, we have seen men get well whose families have not returned at all. We've seen others slip when the family came back too soon. Maybe we didn't lose our family, our loved one, our spouse in this situation. Maybe we did. I know I've lost people from this disease. While I was in it, in the food. But the thing is that God is who restores it, not me. I do the footwork of working the steps. I surrender my life, my will and my life to God as I understand God. And my higher power, all the heavy lifting. And that's why anyone who does that can recover. Thank you so much. I will pass.
And thank you very much, Chanel T, for getting us started. Great opening. I'll let everybody know where we're at. We're on page 99, the bottom of the page. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover. And it ends with, when the family came back too soon, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So, who would like to share today?
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Good morning, Bruce.
Shanna C.
Shanna C.
Christy M.
Julie.
Christy M.
And Julie E.B.
Gotcha, Julie.
IOA in Southern California.
IOA. Good morning, IO.
Good morning.
One more. If not, we'll go with this list. I have Bruce E., Shanna C., Christy M., Julie E. B., and I.O. A. Everybody else, mute your phone. Bruce E., you're up. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Thank you, everybody on the line. I'm Bruce E. I'm a recovered food addict in Fort Myers, Florida. And very grateful to be on here today. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. In some cases, his wife won't even come back. And let's see, it's dependent upon his relationship with God. Have seen men get well when their families not returned at all. Well, I'm looking back on my first marriage. I've been married twice, and this marriage is a good one that I'm in now. We've been married over 30 years. But my first marriage, I remember very well. We were both addicts, and neither one of us were in the program. And she left, and I was just absolutely in shock. I was just beside myself, and I would have given anything to have her back. And I talked to a very, very wise person. And now again, both of us were addicts, neither one of us were in the program. So I talked to a really wise person, and he said, call her up, ask her if she'll come back, and if she says no, put it behind you. And that was very, very good information, because I called her up, and there was no way she's coming back. She said no, and I was able to put it behind me. I needed to hear that. I needed to hear her say that. But what was absolutely amazing about that conversation, and we hadn't been married very long, and the marriage was a disaster, totally a disaster. But what was awesome about that conversation was that she said, she gave me a compliment. She said, you'll do okay. You'll do well. She said, you'll do okay. You'll come through this. And she said, I'm sorry it didn't work out. And man, I'll tell you, that took a load off my shoulders. And I told her the same thing. I said, yes, I am sorry it didn't work out too. And so that was a tremendous, tremendous conversation to hear her say that. So we did amends, because I don't know if I ever talked to her again. I talked to her once or twice to get the divorce settlement done. And but that was terrific, you know, that she needed to say no and I needed to hear it. And then I went on and was successful in my life. I mean, it says this about God. It says it is dependent upon his relationship with God. So I had to really turn to God. I didn't have her to turn to. I didn't have anybody. I had to turn to God. I really did. I really got down on my knees, and I really started. I guess I got on my knees. I can't remember. I do now. I get on my knees, but I just really had to develop her. Thank you. I really had to develop a relationship with God. And that was wonderful. So I pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Bruce E. Up next is Shanna C., followed by Christy M. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning, Mo. And everybody on the line, this is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Knoxville, Tennessee. It's through God's grace and strong sponsorship and this program of action that I haven't found it necessary to eat compulsively, regardless of the fact that everyone around me eats what they eat. And my God, it's a miracle for my life. Every meal is a miracle. It's good news. It's so such great news that my abstinence and sobriety with food and my relationship with God isn't dependent upon people, because for so long, I truly believed that it was other people that were my problem or my solution. The fact that there's this thing in me that desperately needs to please people or whatever, and I need you to like me. I need you to, approve of me, or even if I don't like you, I need you to like me, kind of thing. And being the selfish, self-centered, compulsive overeater that I am, left to my own devices now without, the relationship with God, making me aware, and these steps making me aware of those tendencies and being able to turn back to God and my fellows and getting out of self, left there, I will literally use other people as an excuse to eat. They made this wonderful thing for me, or they gave, And in the moment, it feels like you're being unselfish. At least for me, it felt like I was being unselfish and considerate of their feelings, when the truth is I'm being delusional. I don't realize that in that moment I'm having that strange mental blank spot, and I'm giving myself an excuse to use food for ease and comfort, and I get to blame them. How convenient, right? But anyway, so grateful that stuff is, and I get to be reminded, I don't have to eat. I have a solution that really works, and it's the outlined directions in this book that work even if I don't feel it, and they work despite me. Thank you, God. When I take the action of the 12 steps, now at this point, living in steps 10, 11, and 12, when I do that, when I take the actions of steps, actively putting my faith and trust in a power greater than myself that does for me what I can't do for myself, if that makes sense. It's not the white knuckling kind of thing. Yes, I put down the food. Yes, I have the food plan. Yes. But at the same time, I'm taking the action of these steps and putting my faith in a power greater than me. That he's going to keep that obsession away, provided I stay honest with myself and be willing to share this stuff with others in an effort to help them through it, because it's in helping others that I get to stay absent a day at a time. And not just abstinent, but happy and happy about it. All right, that's all I have. Thank you all, and happy Friday.
Happy too. Happy Friday to you too, Shanna. Thank you very much. Up next is Christy M, followed by Julie E.B. Good morning, Christy.
Hi, good morning. This is Christy M, grateful, recovering bulimic anorexic overeater from Oregon. And boy, this reading is, to me, has been just the crux of my program, is that our program, our serenity, is really not based on what's happening around us. And part of the 12 steps and the work of the 12 steps is finding that peace and serenity by turning things over to our higher power, and trusting our higher power to do what we can't do for ourselves, and living in this place of peace where I just think of this storm going around us. And I used to think that, you know, part of, you know, feeling better and dealing with my emotions was, you know, if I could just make the storm and the winds and the rain stop. Well, you know, we all know we can't make rain stop when it's raining. Like, it was insanity. And then trying to spend all my time making the rain stop, and oftentimes the rain, you know, like a lot of us, is what other people are doing, their actions that are, you know, disturbing us, upsetting us, things that we can't accept. And so much of my life was spent trying to make the rain stop and letting other people's behaviors, words, thoughts, and actions really impact me and have so much control over, you know, my inner emotional and spiritual state. And now I think of it as, you know, this storm's happening because, you know, life is a storm, and it was almost kind of immature to think that it was ever going to be this, you know, rainbows and butterflies all the time around me. And then that's what I needed to have this peace inside. And that's what I needed to have the peace that would lead me to having abstinence. And now I think of it in a different way, that, you know, through the work of the 12 steps in my program and my work with my higher power and trusting my higher power, you know, the storms are going around me, but I think of it in the hurricane and I'm in the eye, you know, like things can be happening around me and I'm not being tossed around. Like I'm not getting, you know, flung into the wind and tossed around. I'm just in this eye, and the way I get that eye is by working my steps. It's my spiritual, it's my relationship with my higher power. And you know, I've been going through a difficult time lately with my first husband, who's taken me to court several times over custody, and this last one's been going on a year. And you know, there's times where, you know, that default, where that just, I've gotten caught up in that. Like I've gotten caught up in the storm, you know, his behavior and what he's doing. And, you know, this is just that good reminder to me that, like, that can happen all at once. And that does not have to dictate my program. It does not have to dictate my serenity. And so much of that is my relationship with my higher power, is getting up every morning, turning my life and will over to my higher power of my understanding and trust that he can do for me what I can't do for myself. And just taking things one day at a time. And so that is just such a great reminder to me that my program, my abstinence, my serenity, thank you, I'll wrap up, is really not dependent on other people. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christy M. Up next is Julie E.B., followed by Io A., and after Io, I will take another list of names. We're on page, let me remind you, we're on page 99. The bottom of the page, let no alcoholic say he cannot recover. And it ends on the top of the page with, when the family came back too soon. All right, Julie, you're next. Good morning.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Moving on the trail right next to the stream that I think about every day, is the stream of life. And sometimes it goes fast, sometimes slow. Sometimes things are off to the side, sometimes stagnant. So for me, this is a huge paragraph, a huge page, because I'm a person who likes to depend on others, people, places, and things. And here it's reminding me that I can't do that. Now, this is no controversy against any person who sponsors a certain way. But when I went personally through the steps, my sponsor is only in touch with me once a week. And then twice a week, we read the big book. And for most other things, because she was busy as a school teacher, I needed to call other people. And she said that this was how she was sponsored. So she didn't have a sponsor dependent program. She had learned to have a higher power dependent program, a program where we learn listening to others to hear our voice and our higher power voice. I have a saying that I've sent to me every day that came out of this time, that I am the cause of my own misery. Other people exist for me to appreciate them and know them, as long as I don't look to them to get what I need. I am the problem. God loves me anyway. So that for me summarizes this whole idea that I used other people and looked to other people as my solution. Today I can talk to my higher power and a range of voices and try and distinguish between those lower power voices that I'm worthless and that higher power voice that I am precious and deserve good things, including freedom from the food and freedom from the emotional disturbance that centers in my mind. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And up next is Io A., and after Io, I will take another list of names. Good morning, Io.
Good morning. This is Io. Greetings, everybody. Io, compulsive overeater from Irvine, California. I'm so grateful. It's been a while, but I just wanted to chime in because this is not something that I actually relate to, but I've been grateful to like see people lose their partners and lose their families and watch them in recovery. And so what I hear is this is a plea to have things be perfect in order to recover. And I can relate to that. I can relate to wanting circumstances in my life to be perfect so that I can recover. And it's interesting, in my own life, I've been more prone to actually want to get rid of my family so I can recover. Because it feels like it would be so simple to just focus on myself. And I've been more prone to see relationships as a problem and want to, in a rash decision, find ways to just isolate myself. So I find it really interesting, you know, this idea that people are dependent on people, and I'm really prone to be dependent on myself. And as I think about it, it's still a type of idolatry. It's still a type of like reliance, whether it's on people or myself, and not relying on the Most High. And so I'm very grateful that I have been talking to people all over the country and other countries while working this program and listening to their experience. And the people who are in recovery keep kind of bringing it back to developing a relationship with the Most High and being reliant, totally reliant on that power in order to recover. But also being in relationship to people in a balanced way, and that is not making them your higher power and also not trying to take from them more than what you need, because often that means that I'm trying to give from them something I really need to take to my higher power. I just want to share that I came back from North Carolina. It was the best trip that I ever had. And again, it wasn't perfect circumstances. There was death and sickness And but it was my first time being in North Carolina visiting my family in recovery. And I just came back feeling like I was truly present with my family, and I was able to work through each day, even though it wasn't perfect. So if you take anything from this, I'd say our desire for perfection and not using that as an excuse, this passage. Thank you. Sorry about that. Thank you, Mo.
That's okay. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, IOA. Glad your trip went well. I'll remind everybody we're on page 99 at the bottom of the page, third paragraph. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover. Ends with when the family came back too soon on the top of page 100. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Sherry C.
Sherry C.
Elaine G.
Nancy J.
Elaine G.
From New York.
After Elaine.
Nancy J.
Nancy J. Gotcha, Nancy.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M.
Joanne P.
Joanne P.
Alex K.
Alex K. Let's start with you, Alex. Let's see how our time is. I have Sherry C., Elaine G., Nancy J., Joan Marie M., Joanne P., and Alex K. Nice group of people. Thank you very much. Everyone mute your phone except Sherry C. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry C. from Connecticut, compulsive overeater. Not recovered today. Grateful that all voices are accepted on the line to share. Much as I'm not recovered, I do have some form of recovery that I'm blessed with because I've been listening to this line for so many years. Recovery is an interesting thing, but I have to say that I felt compelled to share today because I'm spending time with my family, and it's a lot. I have a sister who's sick, and she's so ill that she's lost a significant amount of weight, and she looks like a skeleton. Let me scratch that. She looks like a model. Because, you know, I grew up with models being skeletons, and except that my family, my personal family, my immediate family really admires the heavyset look, and that's what they all are. And I realized at a certain point I was excusing my gaining weight back by saying that I was doing it as a way of comforting my family, right? Because if I was as slim as I was when I was in a more recovered state with my food, then I would be looking too similar to my sister who's sick, and then my family would be worried about me too. Well, that's an excuse. And I just watched one of my relatives try to put their shoes on and struggle to put their shoes on because they couldn't get over their own body. And I am back there where that's something that I struggle with. And I am just praying for the strength and ability I'm praying for power because I have none. I am powerless over this disease. I'm powerless over the food. And I'm just putting my voice out there on the line for the first time in a while, in the recorded line, to just say that I'm not giving up, I'm not letting go, and I have to just keep remembering to let God. Even though I'm not letting go, I have to let God, because I matter, I do matter, and I appreciate the opportunity to share that I matter, because I know that there are other people in the line that also need to hear that they matter. We matter, and God loves us, and God loves me, and Thank you so much for this program and for this line. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Sari C. Up next is Elaine G, followed by Nancy J. Good morning, Elaine.
Hi, this is Elaine G from New York. I'm glad to be here. A lot of times I just can't make this meeting lately. Anyway, it's always good to be here. About the paragraph, I lost a lot of weight. My family told me I was too skinny. And then when I gained weight, oh, you look better. My son tells me, even if I'm 180 pounds and 5'1", you're fine. Now, I know I'm not fine. Even the doctor tells me I need to go on a diet. I know I need to go on a diet. Not a diet, but lose weight. And when I'm with my family, it's like, you could eat that. I said, no, I can't. I can't eat that. That'll start a binge, you know? But anyway, I just want to say that the family doesn't change. You know, even though you change, the family doesn't change. And I have to accept that. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine G. Up next is Nancy J, followed by Joan Marie M. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy J, recovered for today in California. I'm just so grateful. What a beautiful little paragraph. If I had to pass a note to somebody, you know, one little note on how to recover, this might do it, you know, for me. And I just think of the days I was struggling before program and sometimes even after when I was in relapse. Someone mentioned you've got to be in a perfect situation to recover. I relate to that. I remember saying, okay, so I got to get control of this body. I got to get control of my weight. But it's the holidays, you know, so I've got to, you know, how am I going to eat these humongous meals and all the pie and candy I want and lose weight? Well, that's not possible. So let me, you know, January 1st. Or, oops, here comes Valentine's Day. Or, oops, this is going on. Or, oops, that's going on. And, God, I'm so grateful that I get it. I get it. That is not, that's me. That's my lower power, you know. I remember even after when my first relapse, I just told my sponsor, I can't, how do you turn it over? I can't turn it over. I would pray, God, let me turn it over. I'd pray on a full stomach, you know, let me turn it over. How do I turn it over today as a recovered person? I turn it over by getting up out of bed and doing my 10 minutes of yoga, my meditation, my prayer, and turning on a vision meeting. That's how I turn it over. It's not frothy emotional appeal. Please let me stop. Please let me. That doesn't do it. It's just doing the action, doing the steps, doing the work. Is how I turn it over. And I'm so grateful. And all the stuff in life, the resentments, the self-centeredness, controlling, all that's just roadblocks to my God, to my higher power, just roadblocks. So what I got to do is just knock those roadblocks out of the way. How do I do that? By doing the work, getting on my knees, doing my meditation, making my phone calls, doing my tips. You know, and I'm just so grateful. If anybody on the line is struggling, man, believe me, I am the most skeptical, cynical, everything else. And I'm recovered, and I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Nancy J. Up next is Joan Marie M., followed by Joanne P. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, fellows. This is a beautiful day. Thank you. I'm going to start from the beginning. I really, really relate to this paragraph totally. I met my ex-husband when I was in the hospital, and he was in what they called the drunk tank, and I was in the for an attempt of a suicide. And that's how we met. And he used to say to me, don't tell anybody how we met. I didn't wonder why. But, we were married for a while, and then he decided he didn't want to be married before because I'm too godly, and that he found someone else. And so I was devastated, heartbroken, and I would pray. I'd stay up through the night and praying to bring him back. And, you know, God answers prayer. And sometimes it's something that is not good for us, but God does answer prayers. And he came back, and it was like hell on earth. I mean, he was into every addiction you could think of. And I lived with that for quite a while, and then I finally remember one morning there was a song that sang, though none go with me, still I will follow. And I went in and I prayed and walked around and came back in, and I said to him, are you going to give up your da-da-da-da-da-da? And he said, no. And I said, well, I'm out of here. And that ended it. But then, still even then, he would call and come back for a while, and it went back and forth for quite a while to finally one day, with the help of God, I finally said, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. And I started to get well. And so I just want to say that I am Joan Marie M., a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God in this program. And if you're new, get a sponsor, go through the big book, the steps with her, and do those assignments, because they bring you total, absolutely neutrality around food. And that is a miracle that my God did. You know, I surrendered those alcoholic foods, and with that, God took the compulsion and the obsession away, and then I had to do my part. So again, I am so grateful, living in Nevada and recovered. God bless all. I'll sign off.
Thank you very much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Up next is Joanne P., followed by Alex K. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P., grateful, compulsive overeater. This paragraph speaks so much to me. It says, "No, let no alcoholic say he cannot recover." I came into this program completely devastated that I had no willpower, I had no control, I could not recover from my compulsive overeating. And I was quickly reminded, as I started to work with the sponsor and go through the big book and the 12 steps, that recovery isn't dependent upon people. You know, I soon learned that I was so selfish and self-centered and self-righteous. My word, I couldn't even believe who I was, because I didn't think that's who I was. I thought I was pretty great, actually. And it wasn't until I did develop a relationship with my higher power that I started to see who I was and where I was going and where I could go, and how the 12 steps in this program reminds me that we have to accept life on life's terms, and we have to trust in our higher power and just focus on knowing that we are safe and protected in God's love, in our higher power's love. That everybody's got a story, you know, everybody's got a story, and we're no exceptions, but we just have to learn to live our life with our story, with God as our at our side, just holding God's hand and knowing that our higher power is going to give us strength for the day and courage that it takes to work our program, to take action, to practice these principles in all our daily affairs, to be who He would want us to be, to, so to get well. And getting well means trusting in our higher power and surrendering, really, to His will in our life. Giving up playing God and knowing that I'm not in charge anymore. And it really works. It really does if you work the program. So that I pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Joanne P. And our last chair will be from Alex K. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered for today. This is such an important message for me. I think most of my life I looked for something out there to make me feel better, food or other people or circumstances or material possessions, and none of that ever satisfied me. It was never enough because I was looking in the wrong place. And the answer's right here with my higher power. When I'm too focused out there, I lose my serenity. When I feel like I can't be okay unless external conditions go a certain way, I'm making that thing my higher power. Fortunately, I usually notice now when I'm doing this. In the past, I wasn't aware of it, or I really thought that something out there had to change before I could be okay. So when I notice it, I say, oh, I'm doing it again. I'm relying on something else instead of my higher power. Need to get back to my higher power. That's where my reliance needs to be, and then I can regain my serenity. My higher power is my constant source of peace and comfort, regardless of what other people are doing or what's going on around me. Everything else might change, but my higher power's unconditional love and support never change, and I can have peace whatever's going on around me as long as I keep my attention on my higher power. Really grateful for that, to know that and to be able to do that. Thanks, everyone. Pass.
Thank you, Alex K., for picking us out. Thank you all who shared this morning, and all those who gave service, Davalyn E., Rhonda R., Chanel T., Julie E.B., Lorraine N. Our newcomer greeter will be Carla C., and announcement Shelly E. Thank you so much. And I will ask everyone to press, I won't. I will ask Julie E.B. to now read page 164. We will now close with that reading. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Julie. Is it Julie? Yeah, it's Julie.
Yes. Hi. This is Julie. I'm gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day. The person who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.